why we are a edgelord podcast that is offensive.
Yeah, what was that person's problem?
They didn't say.
They didn't specify.
They just said they
didn't
like
our jokes. It wasn't even the bonus. I don't even know what they were talking about.
Yeah, we just talked.
We could have asked them, but I don't care.
Yeah. You don't touch the poop.
No, no way. Yeah, somebody on Twitter just said we were edgelords and got one like.
So that means they're wrong.
Yeah. In the court of public opinion, we've been vindicated, much like...
By lack of likes.
Much like Harvey Weinstein today was vindicated of the majority of counts against him.
Is that true?
Yeah, he was found guilty on five counts.
I haven't actually read any of
that. That means by majority rule, our man, innocent.
Yeah, I mean, look, leftists are always saying we should abolish the Electoral College, but suddenly the majority of his shit is not guilty and he's still guilty. That's minority rule. That's unfair.
Yeah, prison abolition starts with Harvey Weinstein.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to BP Bledis. We are air horning today for the arrest and conviction of Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein.
Yeah, and I'm drinking a fucking 13% stout, brewed by a friend of the show. Shouts out.
Yeah, Todd passed me an unmarked can, except with like a faded marker X. So this may be the last recording of me alive. I may pass out in cardiac arrest halfway through this can. I don't know what's in here.
It's really good.
It's very tasty.
Yeah.
So it's me, Bryn, Chris, and Todd. No John today. He is sick. Pour one out for him.
Mm-hmm. Smoked too many mids and
now
he's sick.
Do not pour one out for Harvey Weinstein, a horrible piece of shit who's friends with Jeffrey Epstein and Mike Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm. And Hillary Clinton. Don't forget.
Don't forget Hillary Clinton.
Remember that clip from a couple of years ago when Harvey Weinstein went on MSNBC to call Bernie Sanders sexist?
I do remember that.
That was a very interesting
cool
clip.
Guy.
Very cool and
incredible.
Funny clip. Beautiful, beautiful times.
Thanks for making that clear that Bernie's sexist. I appreciate you elevating voices of women, I guess? I don't know.
Thanks, Harvey. Appreciate that. So, yeah, he was found guilty of one criminal sex act in the first degree and rape in the third degree and acquitted on three further charges.
Are there really degrees of rape?
That was the same thing I said. I guess so, but in the legal sense, I don't really know.
Premeditated rape? I guess, like, if you're, like, preparing and you have weapons or something... Like, you know, if you like...
Yeah, I suppose so.
Rape in the heat of... Or like, you know, if you commit murder in the heat of the moment, that's a different charge, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think it is weird.
It seems more weird with rape.
Yes.
Yeah. like nobody... Is there a separate thing for like premeditated theft? I feel like if you steal something, whether you planned ahead or not... Like, no one is like, well, listen, he decided at the last minute to rob a bank. He just got the urge, you know.
He just saw the car with the keys in it. Any one of us would have just taken it.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He saw the boxes of Jordans the cops left around the neighborhood to entrap him.
Look, if you see the armored car and there's that window of time when the driver, the shift changes and the armored car is unprotected, you can... lawfully go into that armored car and take the money.
That's right.
If you see a cop's gun on them and then you enter a fugue state and then they're lying on the ground for no reason, you just were doing a parody of something.
this really begs the question. I mean, like, the guy is tied to 81 Oscars. Are we going to do like a hashtag like that Oscars so white thing? Like, Oscars
so Weinstein?
Oscars so pedo?
Yeah.
They should. Yeah. I mean,
was Weinstein.
No, that's the hashtag I'd like to see.
Was Weinstein like a diddler, or was he just like a scumbag to of age women?
I don't actually know. Everything I've heard about him is that it was like trading sex for like the promise of getting someone a movie career. Mm. So I assume in most cases it was like, you know, at least legal adults, like 18 and up.
Right. But he was in Epstein's Black Book.
Oh, he was? Okay. I don't think I knew that.
He was friends with Ghislaine.
Yeah.
So. He's probably also just a general sex maniac.
I feel like
he's a rapist.
Oh, just if I feel like if you've raped dozens of people, you're not going to like balk at like, oh, do I want to fuck this 15-year-old prostitute? You're like, whatever.
Yeah, you got to imagine that Ghislaine and Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking ring probably included women that were of age as well as women that were underage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be really funny to watch somebody like try to do a mea culpa and be like, listen, I admit that I had sex with trafficked victims on the Lolita Express, but they were all of age. I had no idea there were any children.
Yeah, I was in economy class where they don't get the good shit.
Yeah.
The economy Lolita Express. Mm-hmm. It's a different plane altogether.
Yeah.
You're just flying behind them, like crammed in with a bunch of like middle-aged women from Paramus.
It's like a tow plane. Just like has no engine.
This guy Weinstein, he's so cheap. He flew economy on the Lolita Express.
Yeah. Hey. Nice.
The funniest thing to imagine for me, I mean, it's not exactly funny, but like, I feel like there have to be some, there maybe like one or two guys who like went on the plane and went to Little St. James Island and just didn't fuck anyone. Like they were married or something.
Well, probably there's definitely people who did that and then were like, oh, this is
gross.
Very
I don't
creepy.
Feel good about
I
this.
Not, probably
that's my
Stanley
theory.
Kubrick.
That's my theory about. Well, yeah, Stanley Kubrick was just researching for a film.
Eyes Wide Shut.
That, but that's my theory about Mike Bloomberg, because Mike Bloomberg is one of the most beta cucked men alive, who has just kind of like kiss assed his way to being a billionaire. Can you imagine the absolute moral bankruptcy you would have to have to be on a pedophile sex trafficking excursion to a private island, but specifically to network?
yeah, just to schmooze and be like, hey, oh,
hey. Did I give you my card? Yeah, I know you can't speak English and you're not of the legal age, but yeah, you know, just we should link and build.
That is, there's a weird way where that's like more psychotic. Epstein walks by like a girl on a leash and Bloomberg's like, oh no thanks, actually I'm good, my wife is gonna kill me if I fuck anyone, but do you need any Bloomberg terminals on this island? I can fit you up with like 10 easy, you know. I'll give you a discount. That's a friend discount.
Your impression of him is so much more like jovial and
right, he's more like, oh no thank you, my wife would kill me if I fucked anyone.
Yeah,
he has to sound completely joyless.
He has to sound
no
like
charisma.
He's never had fun in his life. Yeah. He doesn't know how that feels. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, this is like bare minimum shit to me, that it's like, oh, Harvey Weinstein, mountains of evidence, you know, the one of the worst, most disgusting kind of sex criminals.
Mm-hmm. Open secret for like decades, right? Or at least years.
Yeah, no, seriously. And they're just like, okay, good job. There was like a lot of doubt that anything would happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He almost didn't get found guilty of anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's insane that people are like, great, this is amazing. So what a success for justice. It's like, he's the tip of the iceberg, and I don't know. It's, I can't be happy about it. I mean, like, I can't be like, wow, good job. Mm-hmm.
He's a fall guy. Like, people like Bloomberg are still walking around.
Yeah, and right. Trump is the president.
It's nowhere close to
Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton walking around playing golf with both of them.
A bunch of the fucking Hollywood guys. Like, what was it? Matt
Spacey.
Lauer. Spacey. Mm-hmm.
Three people have died.
Right. His accusers keep mysteriously dying in car accidents or whatever.
All
right.
Well, speaking of another guy who got a raw deal.
Yeah. David Lionheart. Leon Hart. Leon Hartita wrote a article for the New York Times. It's an opinion piece.
Just
and
one man's opinion.
It was originally now here's the thing. We understand that if you're an opinion writer, you don't really get to choose your headline. Generally, editor.
I thought it was just one man's opinion. What? Why do they call it that?
Well, you know, it is. He wrote the opinion, but you know, editors have a lot to say. And so originally, the title of this, and we know this because of a Twitter account called Editing the Gray Lady that that manages these things, that sort of reports on changes of headlines. Mm-hmm. It was originally called How Bernie Sanders Can Win. And then very quickly, it was changed to Bernie Sanders is making a big mistake.
He's making a big mistake by winning.
By, yeah.
Right. They were like, it can't look positive towards Bernie at all. We can't imply that there's a chance he'll win. So instead we should be negative and be like, he's missing his chance to win by doing this.
Right.
And the sub headline, what was the original one? Was it the same?
Oh, I don't know what the sub headline was. I guess it must have been something that wasn't, it has to do with respect, but it is currently now, it has to do with respect.
I guess you don't pay the fucking respect to the Democratic establishment. Like,
that's true.
Look, we've been here, like, you got to pay tribute, you got to pay up to the bigger bosses, all right? You got to kick up a little bit.
You do have to do that, and if you don't do that, they'll assassinate you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, you're spending my money all over town on these fucking campaign rallies. You got the fucking Strokes. You got Vampire Weekend.
Yeah.
You got fucking Crosby, Stills, and whatever the fuck. Hey.
Whoever's in that band anymore. Yeah, so David Leonhard wrote this article, and it's pretty fucked up. It's very silly, I think. Basically, he starts with this premise that the last four presidents, Clinton, Bush, Obama, and Trump, very different politicians, at least he acknowledges that, they have one similarity. They all tried to appeal to voters who weren't obvious supporters, maybe, I don't know, Clinton had a quote-unquote third-way politics. And then the second one is the most...
That's like how Donald Trump tried to appeal to people who were more further to the left. You know, not obvious supporters, but how Donald Trump appealed to people like us who were so angry about Bernie Sanders getting the nomination stolen from him that we all voted for Trump.
Right, voted for Trump. Yeah.
No, the second one is the biggest stretch. He says Bush ran on compassionate conservatism. No, he didn't.
I mean, he did in the sense that he said, I'm a compassionate conservative.
That
but
doesn't
it's like,
mean anything.
Yeah, no. You can't just be like, every lie a politician told is
good. No, George W.
good.
Bush ran on compassionate conservatism because what compassion means to George W. Bush is that in the locker room at the Air Force Training Academy, if you're doing blow, he would offer you a bump even if you didn't have any.
For sure.
Yeah, he's a nice
guy. That
guy
was
like
a
that.
Big cokehead.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Mm-hmm. But for sure.
Yeah.
Allegedly, but for sure.
But yeah. For sure.
You heard it here on BP.
You don't get a DUI on beer alone. You got to be starting some yay, too. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah. I have a friend who was a debutante, and her parents knew George W. Bush and said... He had a bowl in his house, like a punch bowl of cocaine.
It's like Jack Nicholson in The Departed. Remember, he has a huge bowl of cocaine and like sticks his whole face
exactly.
in it.
Oh my like that. God. Like that's the kind of cokehead George Bush was.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I hate the way I feel like
you're
the
like,
next day.
Bush is cool.
But if I saw that much coke and I had the opportunity to put like, my face in it, I would.
I don't like coke. I don't recommend any of our listeners do it. That's my personal opinion, not the opinion of the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually can offer a third way, which is that I've never tried it. So it could be good. It could be bad. I just can personally not tell you.
Yeah, Chris is ready to reach across the aisle to people who may not have ever supported his lack of coke use.
Americans understand. Even if you haven't done cocaine, it's okay. We got the third way going. I'm Bill Clinton. The third way. Also, the third grade is where I like to go meet girls.
he is like that. That is how it is.
It do be like that.
Hillary, you want to go to the elementary school and do some yay with me in the back on the swing set? It's going to be a great time.
So Trump is the one who kind of is kind of like this, where he sort of was like, war is dumb. You shouldn't have war. I'm going to keep the coal jobs. Like, basically being like, poor people, I'm going to say all the things you like, and then basically lying about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to say that this is some sort of trend, which it's 100% not, just like lying about like...
It's a huge stretch. Like the Obama one is a stretch too, because he's just like, Obama said that red and blue America was united, like, or some bullshit. Like,
there's not a single politician who hasn't tried to
say they all
say
should, that
we should come together and all suck each other's dicks for the good of humanity.
Yeah, isn't that like a Nixon thing? Like,
they all would say that. No one's gonna say like, America is divided and we should stay divided I mean, maybe like fucking Jefferson Davis, like running for president is we should be divided and the South should be its own slaveholding nation. But like, I feel like since then, people have had a pretty strong stance that America should be united.
So anyway, his point is that Sanders is not doing this, which is strange.
Simply not.
This is a very strange thing. He's basically saying every single person in America, besides the extremely rich elites, should be united. That's what Bernie Sanders is saying. He's saying like all of the working class has the same exact problems and we should all come together and vote us into presidency.
I mean, that's correct.
That's right. This guy is saying he only wants zealots. Well, insane thing to say.
This is that like just repackaged fucking pablum, like the drivel that's been pushed down our throats since 2016. It's that Sanders is too far left and that you need to convert moderate Republicans if you want to win, instead of what the Sanders campaign has been doing and did three fucking contests so far where he literally won the popular vote.
Yes, he did.
All three times, which no fucking primary candidate, Democrat or Republican, has done in ever.
I saw that, and that's ever.
And he's doing
it. Mind-blowing.
He's doing it not by appealing to moderate Republicans, which let's remind everybody that never Trumpers were only never Trump as far as aesthetics are concerned, and when economical positions are taken into account, they voted for Trump every single time.
Yeah, 100%.
Bernie is converting non-voters, converting people who are disenfranchised, converting people who are disillusioned and may not have voted. These people are looking for meaning, and no politician has ever given that to them before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like this kind of thing, it all like starts from this weird false premise. Like, according to Google, 28% of Americans call themselves Democrats. But like stuff like this always acts like that's the majority. Like everyone in the country is either Democrat or not. You know, it's
and
like
it's, you're either staunchly trying to get Democrats to vote for you or you're wanting some Democrats and some Republicans to vote for you, or just Republicans.
Right.
What if it's like, fuck the other 50%. And so I wanted to read, he says, the newly energetic American left has largely rejected this approach, choosing instead to believe a comforting myth about swing voters being extinct and turnout being a cure-all. It's a big mistake. Before going further, I want to make clear that this is not a column urging Democrats to return to Clintonian centrism. I'm making a different case, that the left is hurting its own ability to win elections and enact sweeping change by insisting on an orthodox version of progressivism. To put it another way, can you think of one way that Bernie Sanders is signaling respect to voters outside of his base? Like, yes.
Many.
All the entire concept.
How the fuck do you think he won Nevada?
Yeah.
Everything he ever says.
He won Nevada by a landslide.
Reminder, this article came out yesterday.
Can we talk about how Bernie doubled fucking turnout in the Nevada caucuses and won by double the second, third, and fourth place candidate?
Yeah, second place was what, 19%?
That's how you fucking win elections. Not by appealing to the like tiny group of moderate Republicans that you think might convert over to the Democratic side.
Yeah, it's like he keeps saying like he's acting like Bernie is not being popular, but he's winning all the elections. So it's like, what else should someone do to prove that they're popular and that they have support?
Right. So, and then he goes on to sort of like nitpick about stuff. He says Sanders has evidently decided that progressives will no longer accept impurities.
Good.
Which is, yeah, good. Or even much tactical vagueness. He, along with Warren, has embraced policies that are popular on the left and nowhere else.
also not true about along with Warren.
That is a link, and his citation of that being popular nowhere else is a link to a different opinion article written by him.
It's opinions all the way down. Yeah. Wait, by him or by someone
by
else?
By him.
King. That's he king even, shit.
That I got to give him some respect. He's like, check out my other article. This thing never ends. You keep looping around.
He says, here's the things that are not popular on the left. A ban on fracking. The decriminalization of border crossings. The provision of federal health benefits to undocumented immigrants.
Sure.
The elimination of private health insurance.
Okay.
These things that have broad support.
No, he says later, don't cherry pick polls to prove, don't show me a poll that don't shows you're right. Don't cherry pick,
dude. Do not
dude.
Do it.
I'll fucking fuck you up if you cherry pick, yes. Dude. I swear to God.
So what's funny about that is he, someone asked him on Twitter, what are you talking about? Like, all of these things show that ban on fracking is way, way popular. He's like, it's right here. 49% of Americans think of this. And he showed, put him a link. And the guy was, and then the author of this article was like, well, it's like 50-50. He's like, that's not what unpopular anywhere but on the left means. It's like, that's 50% of Americans.
Yeah. Half is popular. When a president is like polling at 50% approval, it's like, wow, he's doing good.
That's a landslide.
That's considered good. Yeah. If you get 50% of the votes, like Trump got what, 43% of the votes or something? 45? He didn't get a majority.
Right. And the last thing I wanted to say about this is he says, what I just read was that he says this is not a plea for Democrats to return for third way Clintonism. And then the second last paragraph is, for Sanders, that may mean walking back his position on fracking, which threatens his chances in must-win Pennsylvania.
He's polling to win Pennsylvania by 5 points.
It could also mean repeating some of his earlier arguments about the need for border security and immigration restrictions.
Nope.
So he's basically saying, you've got to walk back these positions that are pro the right. Mm-hmm. Like, he's saying, don't be third way. Don't. I'm not saying that. But just capitulate to the right. It's like, that's what that means.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You know what we've fucking seen? Like, these fucking idiots are clinging. Like, and you see that their power is waning. I mean, like,
oh yeah.
In contest after contest, Bernie wins because he does not compromise on progressive ideals. Mm-hmm. He does not kowtow to the right and add whatever fucking fracking bullshit, whatever this is, to his policy platform. He straight up says, like, I don't think Bernie has changed his stump speech since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just the same ass shit. And then, you know, as a supporter of Bernie Sanders, it gets a little boring.
I mean, there's no, we're convinced. We don't have to watch the speech, but it's for someone who's like tuning in for the first
sometimes
time.
Sometimes he says some fun things and it's like really important to be like, did he just fucking say that he wants to make like housing a human right? Like, do you know what that implies? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Here's what I would
he
like.
He toss a little spice on it.
Here's what I would like from Bernie, all right? You can do the same stump speech, do the same policy over and over again. That's fine. But pepper in some small anecdotes, throw in some observational comedy. Be like,
yeah.
I was in line at the DMV the other day. And can you believe that they give you a number and then they call the numbers out of order? What is up with that? That doesn't make any sense.
Does that happen at the DMV? I haven't gone in a while.
It does, actually.
They prioritize you based on what you need.
Mm. Yeah. That's a very good observational comedy bit. And I think Bernie should absolutely do that bit. And
that sounds kind of woke, though. It's like Bernie would be like, that is our plan, that if you need more healthcare, you will get more care and sooner. So actually, I respect the DMV, and yeah, I'm sorry for my slander.
Yeah, against the the punchline is like, actually, I'm going to explain to you why they do that.
Bernie goes to the DMV.
Sometimes things that are fair don't make an intuitive sense.
Listen, the fact that airline food is as good as it is a testament to how hard those workers who are being very badly paid, let me tell you, are working. And I think instead of talking shit about the airline food, you should be praising the airline workers.
Right. Look, have you ever seen an escalator that broke down? It just becomes stairs. An escalator, it's not working. It can't ever be out of order. It's just stairs.
So what we need is an economy that is like an escalator. Even if it slows down, it's never broken. It's always helping you out.
Damn, we need to be writers for Bernie Sanders' campaign.
Yeah, what is he doing?
Yeah,
he
you killing. Already sound like Rodney Dangerfield.
Can't get no respect from MSNBC, no respect from CNN.
Take my wife, Jane Sanders, please.
She's great.
Take my wife, Dr. Jane Sanders.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is a good example of Bernie Sanders absolutely crushing everything and then just being slandered as, well, he's going to need help from us, the elites, so he better not alienate us, even though we're saying that's not what he's doing. So that's one tactic. Another tactic that I've seen this morning, actually, is that they're attacking him for not being a huge fucking idiot about Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was... I mean, like, that'll blow over literally within a matter of days.
I know, it's hilarious, because it's like, 1 week right before the fucking Nevada caucus, he's, what is he, a Russian?
Yeah.
The week before that, he was, I don't know. They're always making up dumb shit about it.
The Bernie bro shit, yeah. Like the fucking...
Oh, yeah, he's a toxic Bernie bro misogynist. Yeah, right before South Carolina, he's going to be an anti-Semite.
Here's the thing. They're pulling out all of the... Well, they're probably going to do something like racialized before South Carolina because there's so many...
Oh, he'll be a racist.
Voters of color there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like...
He beat up Killer Mike.
But that's...
That would be incredible.
I know. Honestly, I feel like black people would like him more. They'd be like, how did you do that?
It's like,
congrats.
They go with the he beat up Killer Mike narrative, but then that completely disproves the narrative that he is old and had a heart attack and is unfit to serve because
they're
of
like,
his health.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't we think of that?
Because he's fucking swole as shit.
Bernie's.
But that's the thing. They go with a different narrative every time.
Yeah.
And the fact that they keep switching narratives and none of them seem to stick is such a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great sign. But I do think it's really interesting the way that like they try this stuff with Cuba, and it's like all of his supporters are like, first there's two responses from his supporters, like his base, which is the working class, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know who Cuba is, and I don't know why we're talking about him.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's probably mainly like the like what?
Like
what is
most
that?
People don't remember the sort of COINTELPRO anti-communism stuff from the 70s. Mm-hmm. That like the last time they heard about Cuba was like Obama being like, hey, we're cool. Mm-hmm. That's the last thing they remember.
Exactly.
Right.
And like Castro has been dead for like a long time now.
And the Cold War Red Scare propaganda is wearing off. I mean, like,
no one millennia, is supporting
even,
Bernie Sanders knows
even
what
Gen
that
Xers
means.
Didn't really get Cold War Red Scare propaganda drilled into their heads from day one of like kindergarten,
yeah,
the way that
right.
the boomers did.
Yeah, they got like the tail end of it sort of, and it was like lingering and stuff, you know.
If
like,
anything, they thought
Rocky
like
or something.
Carl Drago was like kind of cool.
Sure. Yeah,
it's just like, oh, okay, well, they're the bad guys, I mm-hmm. guess, but there's no like, we're not afraid of them.
Mm-hmm. And if coronavirus has anything to say, like most of the boomers won't be around for the general. I mean, it's
Comrade
amazing.
Coronavirus.
It's like the coronavirus was engineered in a lab to kill off the boomer generation.
Wait, what if this
by
is
the CIA?
What if President Xi was like, I don't need to send the bombs. I'll send the coronas. The targeted strike against our weakest
American
richest people.
Americans love Corona.
Yeah.
The beer.
What if it was Corona Gyrus and it was just for the fellas?
That would be misandrist, I think.
That would also
support
be misandrist,
that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, it would be, yeah, exactly, because just the fellas would get the virus.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it should be across the board. It shouldn't be, you know.
That doesn't seem fair. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's,
but
it's
anyway,
oppressive.
I think it's like, I think it's really interesting that people, like, I have a lot of friends, like, I've been watching, like, every debate. Not every debate, but every reporting on the votes. What do you mm-hmm. call these things?
Polls?
The primaries.
Just when watching the primaries.
Like when the primaries and caucuses have been happening. I've been watching them with my friends. And one of my friends is also a communist, and she's always like...
Wait, you have other friends who are communists?
I do.
Besides us?
Yeah. And one of my friends, she's always like, Bernie Sanders isn't a socialist. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, oh, really? Like... Especially when stuff like this happens, I'm like, would a non-socialist be like, would a pro-capitalist be like, look, Castro wasn't the best person ever, but saying he's all bad is stupid. Look, like he gave everybody homes, everybody education, mm-hmm. like he fed the homeless, like all of this shit is great. And everyone's like, how dare you?
I'm sorry, Bryn. I can't get behind Bernie until he starts defending Pol Pot.
yeah, exactly. It's just very strange. I mean, I tweeted this week, it was like, with that stuff, it's just like, I can't wait to see leftists be like, Bernie Sanders isn't a real socialist. He mm-hmm. He supported Khrushchev.
I mean,
he supported the wrong Soviets.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, come on.
I still think, I mean, this is a, you know, a hope. I don't know for sure, but it's like, I think Bernie is waiting until the general to like double down. Like, he's not going to tack to the center at all. He's going to become more and more outspokenly socialist in contrast to Donald Trump. And it's like, it becomes harder for the media to attack him on that, because right now they can be like, well, that's bad. We should have Bloomberg or Klobuchar or Warren or whatever. Like, they have all these little foils where they can like pretend that they're the same as Bernie and be like, no, no, they have the same policies, but they're not being so anti-capitalist. They're not being so extreme. But like, against Trump, it's like the media basically has to like defend Trump or be like, no, Trump is better than Bernie when he says,
well,
like,
I guarantee you that CNN and MSNBC will fall on Trump's side when all the cards are on the table and it's Bernie versus Trump in the general. That just means that we have to fight that much harder. Mm-hmm. That just means that, listeners, you need to volunteer, canvas, knock doors, phones, texts. You got to donate. You got to talk to people. You got to organize. And it's going to be a long fucking fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when the other candidates are doing such blatant insane shit, like Mr. Pete Butt Guy, who appears to have staged some sort of improv everywhere bullshit. So there's this video that Pete tweeted yesterday.
Oh God, he would be the candidate of the flash mobs.
Yeah, exactly.
No pants White House, just him and Chasen and Tidy Whiteys in the White House with their dogs.
Fucking damn it. God damn it. I'm loading the AR-15 as we speak.
Me and Chasen show off our Funko Pops. We're nerds just like you.
I've just placed 3 Elon Musk flamethrowers in my shopping cart.
Oh yeah, I forgot he sold flamethrowers. That was insane.
The Boring Company.
Yeah. But what's going on here? What is this video about?
So Pete Buttigieg tweeted a video.
Well, there's a thing he was tweeting about. I think
is this in a thread?
Well, but I think before this video, like the night of the Nevada caucus, like after he ate shit, after he lost hard, he was tweeting this like cute story about a time when he was at a campaign event and they lost power and everyone was holding up their phones and you couldn't see what race everyone was or what color everyone was.
Did he really say that?
Yeah. Have you seen that thread?
Oh,
it's really insane.
Sucks ass.
I don't know if it's still up. I tweeted like screenshots from it though.
So, but you look at the video and it's like, okay, so first one set of lights in the gym goes off, then another one, and it's like in a sequence that is tailor-made to be on video. Like, it's very obvious that this building did not lose power. Somebody shut these off. Somebody is tripping circuit breakers one by one to make the appearance of a power outage.
Right.
That's what it seems like.
So
yeah.
So he tweeted this video where the lights go off and then it's like pitch dark, but it's also like later on in the video there's big windows, so there's still daylight outside, so it's not pitch dark. See the watch right here? It goes pitch black, and then the lights are like flickering, but then another one, it's like, oh, the sunshine is coming through.
Different cameras,
so,
maybe?
So Dwight Rhinoceros was tweeting, this is so crazy. I can't stop thinking about this. If the power went out, how did it do so in a staggered way? The overhead lights went out, then the camera production lights, and then you hear the pop of the PA being shut off. So that's sort of not the most, you know, if you know anything about electricity, what do you call?
It's not real.
Capacitance exists, and so that's possible. It's not a
oh, look at this, fucking know about electronics and shit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Fucking nerd.
But someone did point out that a generator should turn on if the lights went out. Most buildings like this have a generator.
Sure.
Well, the other thing is, like, these cameras are specifically, like, the lighting settings and the exposure on these cameras is specifically set. So despite the fact that daylight is streaming in through the windows, like, look at that. Look at that right there. Like, yeah. It is very easy to see without a bunch of fucking cell phones.
Right. These people probably were not, like, unable to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looks like a slightly overcast day outside, but it's basically normal.
So what it ends up being is a big photo op for the Pete Buttigieg campaign, and it ends up looking really inspiring to the devoted dead ender psychopaths who are going to support Pete, but to literally everyone else, it looks completely staged and embarrassing.
It looks super fake.
Even if it's real, it's like, who cares? This is so stupid.
Well, yeah. Okay. This kind of stuff does matter, though. Like, the bird for Bernie Sanders, like, Everyone loves the Bernie.
Yeah,
Bernie Sanders. But that's because Bernie Sanders is good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you think Pete is good, this kind of thing seems great. It's like, oh, this really like nice thing that happened where everyone got together and the lights came on, but it's clearly staged because he's fake.
The funniest, the good thing is that the post debunking this and has 10,000 likes on Twitter, whereas the actual post from Pete Buttigieg's campaign is 4,000 likes. Yeah. So I imagine
owned
with rates of engagement that low, maybe Pete's campaign is running low on social media funds to astroturf their posts with the Shadow app.
This is the first time I noticed that Pete has his pronouns in his bio. So, you know, he's woke.
Oh, no, does he really?
Yeah, look, he has how to pronounce his name. Boot Edge Edge, parentheses, /him.
Oh, boy.
That sucks.
That's queer baiting.
Let's see.
If I've ever seen
it. We should compare everyone else. Yeah, I think Elizabeth Warren... I think she said her pronouns on stage once, right? Or no, who did? Beto, maybe?
She, her.
There was one of them who said, like...
Elizabeth Warren's got her pronouns in the bio.
It was Kamala Harris. She was like, I'm Kamala, she, her.
No, didn't she say something wrong?
You know who doesn't have their pronouns in their bio? You know who doesn't fucking patronize queer people? You know who fucking trusts that you know, based on his 40 fucking years of supporting the LGBTQ community, that he's on your side? Bernie motherfucking Sanders. Yeah.
We should check everyone else. Does Joe Biden?
That would
except
be
it would
so
just say
cynical.
Like Taffy / Malarkey or something. I really want to know now.
Text to join 30330. Wait, what does that mean? Text to join.
Text to join.
Oh, text join 23.
That's what he was supposed to say. Remember when he said go to joe.30330? It's like, what is he saying?
He just looks so old.
He is so old.
I mean, whoever is working on the fucking Joe Biden campaign, like, they can't honestly think that he will ever become president.
They might, until recently. Mm-hmm.
Amy Klobuchar also does not have her pronouns in bio, so do we have to stand
now?
She's
probably just a shithead.
Yeah. She's just not even
I don't
woke
think it's
enough.
Good to not have your pronouns in the bio.
Right. That,
but
I agree.
It's
we
also,
should make that clear.
It's
just,
also lame
Yang
for
does
them
not.
To do
okay.
it.
Right. It's cringy for someone running for president who is clearly just pandering to people to put it in.
Tulsi Gabbard's pronouns appear to be wife/veteran.
Wife, sister, veteran, surfer, and friend. Who's friend? Is she my friend? What does that mean?
She's. I have friends.
She's running for president to prove that you have friends.
Fucking drop out, Tulsi.
I think I'm going to crack another one of these 13% beers.
Insane.
Another one?
Oh, wow. I'm barely through mine, but go off.
Really? Oh, shit. All right.
You're going to get too drunk.
So Todd, Beto just has no bio at all. There's just nothing there.
That's Chad. That's a Chad.
That's a
he
big,
just has,
yeah.
Location, El Paso, Texas, and his website is BetoO'Rourke.com.
Chad.
Yeah.
Big respect.
I mean, he is a blank slate. He's just nothing. So it's like, whatever. I'm just, I'm nothing.
Beto is the guy that, like, you meet at a party that has absolutely no personality, but he somehow manages to fuck every girl there. Mm-hmm.
Because he has a huge dick.
Yeah, exactly.
How funny would it be if Trump and like Pence put pronouns in their bio? What's up? It's your boy Donald. I love LGBTQ. He, him, his.
No, what if Trump was they, them?
Listen, I have many friends who are non-binary. They say gender. What is gender about?
Just cynically being like, oh, you guys, you kids like that? You should vote for me because I'm they, them.
Or like Barron comes out as non-binary and Trump is just like weirdly nice about it. And it's just like, how is this happening?
He would be.
He'd be like, yes, Barron. They're so good at cyber.
You'd be like, who cares?
But back to Buttigieg's campaign. Apparently, after Bernie's landslide victory on Saturday in the Nevada caucus, where Bernie got 46% compared to Joe Biden's 19% and Pete's 13%, meaning that Pete takes home no delegates.
Zero.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, bitch. Pete's campaign is apparently alleging irregularities and a number of unresolved questions against the Nevada State Democratic Party.
Interesting, Pete.
Rat mode.
Yeah, cry about it. The thing
bitch.
Is, I'm sure he's right, because it sounded like a fucking clusterfuck. Like, it was the first year they did early voting, and they had to, like, use a whole new system to, like, send the results of early voting to the caucuses, and then had to, like, fucking have a whole tally of who'd early... It sounded like a fucking mess.
But we've seen the evidence that in almost every situation, they went... There was delegates that should have gone to Sanders that went to Buttigieg.
There was actually a really good one.
Oh no, I'm sorry. In Iowa,
right? In Iowa.
In Iowa, but the Buckeye campaign did not contest those results.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like he would have a point. I mean, it's like technically true, but it is completely fucking bad faith when he, like, having no results, and it was clearly a close election, or it looked close, was like, you've shocked the nation. You voted for a gay guy who does a fake Obama voice.
So one of my I actually dug up the results for one of these caucuses, which was fucking hysterical, because the person who got the most county delegates, that's not regular delegates for the state, but just county delegates, was John Delaney.
Is he still running?
With 5 delegates, despite receiving 0 votes in the first alignment and 0 votes in the second alignment.
Wait.
Second place was Pete Buttigieg, despite receiving not the most votes. Third place was Warren. Fourth place was Joe Biden. Fifth place with no county delegates was Bernie Sanders, despite the fact that Bernie Sanders got 23 votes, which was 8 more than the nearest second place person. So,
Pete,
allege errors in the Nevada caucuses, please.
This is just all errors?
I would love for Bernie to get more delegates. Please, please do.
Yeah, what is happening in the screenshot, Todd? Just like, that's all complete errors? Like, someone fucked up?
It's insane.
Was John Delaney even still running? I thought
he dropped out.
Okay, but I guess you're still on the ballot. If you drop out, you just are like, don't vote for me. I guess he didn't endorse anyone. It's such a weird move to, like, drop out and not even, like, tell your supporters who else to vote for. You're just like, whatever, fuck this, I'm out of here. You, like, kick a table over on your way out.
Hell yeah. No, I guarantee you Yang will eventually endorse Bernie when it becomes viable for his career, I guess.
I mean, he's like
he's working on CNN now.
CNN
he
guy.
Wants to be a CNN
he's
type
always
guy.
Been like a like he's like a millionaire tech bro guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's like he's a business type guy. Yeah, he's not fucking...
I feel like he's always just been lying. Like, he's like, he knows the fucking UBI isn't gonna help anybody.
I can't quite tell with Yang. I sometimes get a sense of like a really credulous dipshit. Like the kind of like. Like, you know those business...
You're just saying that because he has, like, weird puppy dog eyes and, like, no. stares blankly into,
look,
the,
I
into
honestly,
the sea
I,
of faces.
I'm
just like,
saying, he's not,
forward.
Like, I like Yang. I honestly like Yang. I think that I would like Yang more if he had a neck. He probably would be the front runner right now if he had a neck.
Because the number one question that voters across America are asking, you know, man, woman, doesn't matter what race... sexuality, they're asking what that neck do.
Yeah.
And with Andrew Yang, there's not even no answer. There's no question. You can't ask that question if there's no neck at all. Bernie Sanders, you know what that neck do. And that's why he's leading.
That's right. Well, speaking of somebody whose neck just be doing all sorts of things, Elizabeth Warren is apparently running the only unapologetically intersectional campaign, according to The Nation, which begs the question,
What is
intersecting with what?
What is
the subheadline of this tells the real story, which is, as much as I want Medicare for all and for the rich to pay higher taxes, that won't cure sexism.
Mm-hmm.
Warren gets that, which echoes the Hillary campaign, which in 2016 was quoted as saying, breaking up the banks, that won't cure racism and sexism.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I haven't read this. I'm excited to hear what kind of insane shit is happening in this article.
So I read it. It's mostly boring and stupid. Like, I didn't realize when I first saw it that it's written by, like, a PhD. It's like a woman who runs, I think, the gender studies department at Northeastern.
Oh, big surprise there.
Yeah.
So a dipshit.
Yeah.
Fucking rube.
Possibly a pedophile. We don't know that, but I'm just saying what happens when you get a PhD. Jeffrey Epstein is like, do you want $5 million to study gender on my island?
The concept.
Allegedly. I don't know. I heard that somewhere.
I mean, the concept of gender studies is like created by CIA assets.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to say that. feminism is bad or intersectional feminism is bad, but like the concept of gender studies and all of this sort of liberal bullshit is taking away from the actual oppression experienced by poor women more than like. Elizabeth Warren is not experiencing sexism.
Wait, like, Bryn, are you saying that the real issue is class?
Well, I think especially with feminism, it doesn't really follow. With racism, there has almost never, for the vast majority of the history of this country, there has never been access to the levers of power by black people. Mm-hmm. Whereas women have always had access to the levers of power. Like, for the most part, there's been a vast difference between, like, we're talking about interpersonal prejudices versus, you know, institutional oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're talking about gender studies, quote unquote, and like the concept of feminism, if you remove the concept of class from it, it is actually right wing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Bryn. I think that gender studies majors are workers.
Nope.
Gender studies grad students, though, because they teach classes and do labor and
that's
shit.
That's right.
So yeah, they're workers.
They deserve a union.
I mean, you know, not doing very important work, but they are still workers.
In what way?
If you're like a grad student, you like have to teach classes.
Are cops workers?
No.
Look,
are you telling me you think that all cops are bastards? Like, including disabled cops?
Yeah, what about lady cops?
Indigenous cops?
Oh, yeah.
Cops with chronic pain?
Yeah, are you telling me that a white woman cop with fibromyalgia isn't oppressed? Bryn, come on.
Nope.
But yeah, it's like this article is just like stupid in the way that Bryn is describing. Like, it's not idiotic because this person is like an academic, but she first spends a while like describing the concept of intersectionality, how it's like about all these different like axes of oppression intersecting on people, you know, who are like black women or something, or queer black men or whatever. But then she basically is like, Elizabeth Warren is so intersectional because she has a plan to value the work of black women, and she has a plan to consider everything through the lens of disability rights. And then basically is like, well, Bernie's plans are too class focused. So really, I feel like this article actually, the error she makes is like not being intersectional enough when it comes to class.
Right.
She
that's the thing, downplays it. Is that like, it's so, we've talked about this since the beginning of the show, is that it's very easy for liberal identity politics to seize on real things like intersectional, you know, oppression and be like, look, if someone is disabled and black and lesbian or whatever, then we have to focus on them and then ignore class.
Yeah,
like, you just take out thing that does actually matter a lot. Not saying that nothing else doesn't matter at all, but just like something that's material, and be like, no, ignore that, because we can play on your emotions.
Yeah,
and say like, no, don't worry how much money they make, and also think of this person specifically as an individual, not as a group.
Right.
Right. I
mean, yeah. Like, one of the things that she talks about is like when Elizabeth Warren reads the names of murdered black trans women on stage, which she says she'll do in the Rose Garden every year.
Fuck off.
I mean, that was the real.
No,
what the fuck?
That's the fucking thing.
That's insane.
That's the fucking thing. The original people who came up with the concept of intersectionality were talking about how all identitarian struggles intersect with class. That's the whole point. It's like the class is the basis for all of this identity analysis. But what modern identitarians like the probably 20 something gender studies majors running the Elizabeth Warren comms department think is that intersectionality means doing everything but class analysis,
right?
Which is horseshit,
and that's the whole point of it. I do honestly think that the point of things like gender studies and then furthering the spectralization of African American studies and women's studies and gender studies as different things apart from economics in terms of this being this existential philosophical bullshit that has nothing to do with people's material conditions is inherently reactionary.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's fair. Yeah, because it's like, even economics at colleges is like incredibly right wing in the way it's taught. It's like, it's taught as like Marxism, maybe in like the philosophy department, where it's like, here's a type of philosophy, or maybe like sociology.
It's, you it's can read very it. Rarely ever taught as anything.
Right.
There's no Marxism major anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I mean, those types of analyses were basically pushed by the powers that be.
Yes.
To tell you that, hey, what you're looking for, it's not actually like a class analysis intersecting with an analysis of systematic racism, sexism, and oppression.
No,
what you're looking for is, instead of, you know, we're subverting systematic racism and sexism by doing a float, a Goldman Sachs float at the Pride Parade. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs is robbing millions of people of color and people of other marginalized groups of their fucking homes in the housing crisis.
Yeah, how is it good and intersectional for women to be homeless because of the fucking housing collapse?
Exactly.
Like, what do you?
Yeah, but Goldman Sachs paid for a big structural Bailey float that had a gay pride flag on it. So,
well, also not to mention that the Elizabeth Warren campaign has been like bleeding women of color because they like don't care about their problems. Like, anytime they come to like come to the upper, you know, leaders of the campaign with like issues of being silenced or being abused or being, you know, treated unfairly, they're like, oh, that, you know, that sucks, man. Like, we should really talk about, like, the basically thoughts
really,
and prayers, you know, whatever.
It's disappointing that the campaign of the only woman of color left in the race would treat their staffers of color that way.
Mm. Yeah, it's
would you guys,
shocking.
Would honestly. You guys believe that this article brings those things up as positive because she apologized for the treatment of black women and because she apologized for taking the DNA test? It shows how intersectional she really is.
You know what? Actually, I've got to change my mind. I think Elizabeth Warren is based now.
Mm-hmm. As in a racist.
My daddy would always say, look, your great grandfather, he had the cheekbones of a Pepe. So we've always been a based family. And we had that Pepe blood in us. So we're based.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but man. So,
basically,
yeah, fuck her.
Yeah. Listener.
Fuck
look,
Elizabeth Warren.
People will try to obfuscate class consciousness, class analysis with intersectionality, like struggles of people against racism, struggles of people against sexism, struggles of people against homophobia. That's real and that exists, but it all intersects with class. And people will try to use this idea of intersectionality to take class out of the equation. It all relates back to class, and anybody who tells you that you can be woke and intersectional by simply disregarding class analysis and just subverting the power structure. So it's the people from the marginalized identity group that are on top of the float at the parade. Well, those people, they want to see you poor and working in a pod and eating bug paste and plugged into an algorithm that means you can never build wealth or have a fulfilling life. And personally, I think that fucking sucks shit. And I hope you do too, listener.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, I made a mistake a little earlier. Mm-hmm. It is not Judith Butler. It's Gloria Steinem, who was a CIA agent.
That's who I was thinking of as well. Yeah.
She was a literal spook.
Right. Like, they called her up and were like, can you help us find people who are communists? And she was like, sure, I'd love to, or something, right?
So
like,
all of this stuff is, be very wary of people mm-hmm. who call themselves intersectional feminists, but do not challenge you know, cops or the prison industrial complex or, you know, anything that actually harms black women or trans women or anyone who actually needs help and isn't on top of the levers of power in this country.
Right.
And speaking of being on top of the levers of power in a company.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Bob of Mr. Bob's, it's not Mr. Bob's Red Mill Natural Foods. He transferred his business to his employees.
Incredible.
So Bob Moore, if you've ever, have anybody eaten Bob's Red Mill?
Oh yeah, all the time.
I love Bob's
Red
Mill.
Wait, I'm pretty sure I have a bag of that right here.
It's
Hold
great.
On.
I have some.
He has so much. Oh yeah, you wanna grab it? We can talk about
we
it.
We can eat it on mic.
maybe I put it away.
So Bob,
what do you have a bag of? Like, he make like snacks
oats,
or something?
I got that muesli on deck.
Well, so my
muesli
move
is delicious.
My move is some oats plus walnuts plus dried cranberries. Ooh,
that's very nice.
It's a good beautiful mix.
You can buy a Bob's Red Mill.
This podcast is not sponsored by them, by the way.
We wish we were.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, please, Bob's
Red Mill.
Sponsored
by a fucking workers' co-op? Hell yeah.
Take his money.
Yeah, so Bob's Red Mill has long put on their bag, this is employee-owned, and I was trying to figure out exactly what that means. But we came across this published today that Bob Moore, who owned the company, he gave the company to his workers. The employee stock ownership plan Moore unveiled means that his 209 employees now own the place and its 400 offerings of stone ground flours, cereals, and bread mixes. I like the muesli. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're like, this is Bob taking care of us. He expects a lot out of us, but he really gives us the world in return. The company is worth like $24 million.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It was estimated it was worth that much in 2004.
Oh, yeah. And so they say, like, almost, that's over 15 years ago.
Yeah. And they say it's like grown every year since then.
He says that he'd been offered millions of dollars from, you know, companies, probably. Mm-hmm. He doesn't specify, but probably, you know, General Mills, Johnson & Johnson, whatever.
Yeah.
Big Unilever type companies.
At worst, he could have cashed out for like $20 million.
At worst.
He,
and just taking it, but he didn't. What he did was give it to his workers. Mm-hmm. So this is great. You know, good for him for doing that. That is the bare minimum you can do if you are the owner of a company.
Look, I'm honestly surprised that he didn't do it at knife point.
Yeah. And all I want is for Bernie Sanders to make a law that says you have to do this.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's a crazy thing to do.
No,
people
not at
like
all.
It. People are doing it now. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm hearing great things.
They're doing it more and more. They're saying how much they love it.
Well, people look, are saying we more and see more. All this shit where companies, they have these boom and bust cycles where the economy isn't built for the longevity of a system that's put in place to benefit the workers. The economy is built on boom and bust cycles, and companies are no different. Like, the idea here is with big companies, you're going to shed workers every now and then. You're going to do whatever's profitable for the board, that bullshit. The point of something like this, and this is small scale, like we should be looking for this on a much larger scale.
Yeah.
We should be pushing for it. We should be forcibly pushing for it. If you're in a union or you're organizing, you should be pushing your boss into something like this. That's the ideal, because they're never going to give it to you. They're never going to just be like, this is a
once in a lifetime thing.
This is the exception to the rule. They're never just going to give definitely. You this. This guy, he's an old guy. He's a curmudgeonly grandpa figure. He's like a nice guy, whatever. They're not going to give this to you if you work at fucking Starbucks or you work at fucking Whole Foods. You know, you work at fucking, you know, some like small business even. Nobody's going to give you this. You have to fucking take it. You have to fucking make it happen for yourself.
Yeah. And what's crazy about this is that like the workers were very confused what this even meant at first. The article kind of points out that like the employees are just now grasping the meaning of Moore's birthday gift. It just shows how much faith and trust Bob has in us. For all of us, it's more than just a job. Obviously it's the same way for Bob too, but I don't think workers are generally understand. Like if someone was like, you all own the company, they're like, well,
no, you're the owner. I'm the slave.
I think there's a lot of capitalist realism that happens with this kind of thing because people don't really know what that even means or what they're going to do with it. Mm-hmm. And the fact is like once explained to them, it's like, well, you just have a say on what we do and you get the profits of your own labor. Mm-hmm. Literally everyone is like, well, why wasn't I doing that before?
Yeah,
right.
And so I think, while, yes, Todd is completely right that like Bob Moore's, you know, a very rare
one in a
example
million.
Of like a guy who's, he even calls it like an emotional epiphany.
Right.
Like,
I think he was like, I could have done this, but I just, it would be the wrong thing to do.
It felt wrong.
He listened to BB Bledis and decided to give the entire profits of his company to his workers.
Sell some organic weed, Bob.
That's right.
Do it.
Hell yeah.
it was kind of interesting because it's like the way they describe the like ownership working is that like everyone who works there is like fully vested in stock and basically like whenever they quit or retire, they'll be like given the profits from the stock they own,
mm-hmm.
but they like don't really have like access to it while they're still working there. It seems like, I mean, it sounds like you could just like be like, okay, cool, I quit, and like take your payout, or mm-hmm. also like keep working there knowing you'd be accruing more and more like retirement fund. But okay. it doesn't mention if that gives them like power to like vote on what the company does, because the last part of the article, he's like, I may have given them the company, but the boss part is still mine. So it's like, it almost seems like he still is basically like in charge, quote unquote. I mean, it sounds like he's the kind of guy who would like happily take input from his employees. So maybe it's like,
well,
nominally,
I think this
he's
is actually an interesting topic. Maybe not for this episode, but I do think that that's okay.
Sure.
Like personally,
yeah.
Like I think, like, you know, in a situation like this, even in like a communist utopia, mm-hmm. like having someone who sort of has a vision for like the captain of a ship,
mm-hmm.
For like a project, you know, like I think I'm okay with hierarchy in that sense, as long as like the actual profits are being, you know, the material can, you know, stuff of it is being driven by the workers.
Were you about to say material conditions? Because I've been told by my intersectional CIA handlers that the use of the phrase material conditions is a trope.
Oh no, a trope for what?
Well, it's actually problematic.
It's a TV trope.
If you, Bryn, listen, if you talk about material conditions, you're ignoring the psychic reality that some bodies can inhabit,
in their spaces.
Yeah, those bodies in spaces. Listen, just like there's material reality, but there's also right. psychic reality, and there's sociological reality, and there's interpersonal reality, and those things may not have a material basis, but they're still affecting people. So it's like, it's kind of problematic of you to just imply that only materialism. It's a little vulgar, honestly.
Wait, you're saying
that
things that don't exist affect people?
Are you saying that I'm saying racism doesn't exist? Because how dare you? And the CIA is going to hear
you're saying
about
it. So racism anyway, is not material.
Anyway, BP listeners, this has been a masterclass in using intersectionality to distract from class realism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's
no... What you
no-
just saw was a trick. I was actually pranking Bryn. But that's what the CIA was going to try to do to you. So stay vigilant.
Stay yeah. woke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
so,
a fucking like educational video. Like, this is what the CIA will try to do to you. If you see a CIA agent, tell your parent or a teacher. Do not talk to them.
Steal their service weapon.
Here's the one thing you should do with this Bob Red Mill story. Print it out and pass it to every single worker you see.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Burger King.
Absolutely.
Give it mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, look at this. Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm. Put it on the Bob's Red Mill at a grocery store where someone working for $9 an hour is stocking it on the shelves.
There you go. Just put this story everywhere. Like, I think every worker deserves to at least see it. Maybe they don't want it right now. Maybe they're not ready for it, but they deserve to see it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, maybe even the workers at the CIA will.
Yes, those workers.
Those bodies in a space.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to BP Bledis. Go eat some muesli. It's delicious. It's
very
with
good
a little
for you.
Yogurt in there. I like it.
Oh, speaking of yogurt, I think didn't Chobani go worker owned too?
Did they?
Really?
Shit. I don't know. I'm looking this up.
That would mean you could eat the most woke breakfast of all time. Chobani yogurt on Bob's Red Mill oats.
Just listening to the Internationale.
Yeah.
Solidarity forever while listening, eating oats.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've been awarded the majority stake, but yes, Chobani employees were awarded ownership in the company.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Awesome. That's cool.
Damn, Chobani gonna start. I know generally I would say there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, but literally if there's fucking worker co-ops that you can support, do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why fucking Chobani is so expensive.
Yeah.
I had to switch to the non-name brand.
Damn.
Oh,
I'm kidding. I don't buy yogurt anymore.
All right, with that, thanks so much for listening to BP Bledis. This has been Bryn, Todd, Chris.
That's us.
Yeah, this has been a fun one. Thank you for listening. Please go to our Patreon if you'd like to hear a little more. Patreon.com/beep beep lettuce. You will get, you know, all those bonus episodes that you see in this feed.
Mm-hmm. There's 69 of them. How nice of us is that?
Nice. Fucking nice. Nice.
Go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review. That really helps people find the show. I promise you it actually does. Nima Shirazi told me.
Mm-hmm. Aww. Citation not needed because you just got one.
That's right. Check out my other show, Generation Loss, Left Trigger.
Plug in your own show,
Bryn. Yeah, that's what a plug is for.
Speaking of plugs, if you're in the New York area and you want to come to the Means TV premiere, when is it, Friday?
It's this Friday. So if you this episode should come out on Wednesday, the Means TV premiere of the actual streaming service Means TV. There'll be a movie and my band is playing and my friend's band is playing and it's going to be a lot of, Jake Flores will be there.
Hell yeah.
Probably I'll be there in the audience, people, you know, mingling.
Probably a lot of podcast people will be there.
I will not be there because I will possibly be volunteering in one of the Super Tuesdays.
Yes,
states.
Sir.
Hell yeah, that is correct.
Yes, so come see that. I'll put the ticket link down in the description.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. Follow us on all of the things: Twitter, Facebook, IG. Mm-hmm. Like us on all of the things. Hang out with us in midst posting, and we'll see you in the Discord.
Beep on, y'all.
Beep on.
Love you. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said, she said bullshit. I think you better quit, better just slip, or you'll be leaving with a fat lip. It's all about the he said, she said bullshit. I think you better quit talking that fish. It's just one of those days, feeling like a freight train. First one to complain, leaves with the blood stain. You better watch your back, cause I'm f***ing up your program. And if you're stuck up, you just locked up. Next in line to get f***ed up. Your best bet is to stay away, mother. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said, she said foolishness. I think you better quit, let this slip, or you can leave it with a fat lip. It's all about the he said, she said foolishness. I think you better quit talking that ish. So come and get it. I feel like shit. My suggestion is to keep your distance, cause right now I'm dangerous. We've all felt like this and been treated like this. All those motherfuckers that wanna step up, I hope you know I pack a chainsaw. I'll skin your ass raw. And if my day keeps going this way, I just might break something tonight. I pack a chainsaw. Get it! It's all about-